once again. Amen.
And a joy to be in Washington. Or is it Washington? Washington. And always a joy to be here, especially when the sun shines. Of course, we think of you every time we eat an apple. And we do pray for this church. We pray for Brother Byron, pray for his family. And prayer works. Amen? Prayer works. The only reason you don't get what you want is because you haven't prayed enough or you're praying wrong, one or the other. Amen? What a joy. My wife of 51 years, my bride of 51 years over here, Mrs. Stelt, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for praying for us. We've been down with Brother Lason for 3 days in revival up in Faircrest with Brother Richter. We're here tonight. We'll be over in Moses Lake on Sunday, drive back to Seattle, get in the plane, and fly back home. Now, some of you a whole lot younger than us couldn't handle that. But if you'll yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to take your weakness and give you His strength, He'll strengthen you to do anything that He has for you to do. Anything. If you'd have seen me last night, Brother Byron, running around the church auditorium, and about 15 teenagers followed me. We had the faith train. Woo, 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 up and down. And 72 years old, running around. Amen. Pray for us as we travel. And we're more like missionary evangelists, going around helping churches, helping pastors, encouraging missionaries, raising money to do that. Flew to London not too long ago, called some businessmen and asked them for the airfare money, and they just kicked in. And we went over there and preached a missions conference, came home, and glad to do so, glad to help churches worldwide. Amen. Well, did you hear about the wife had a birthday and her husband forgot it, didn't bring him a thing, bring her a thing. And he got home and she was mad. And she's furious. And she said, there better be something in the driveway in the morning. It better go from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds or your name is mud. Of course, that'd be a hot sports car. So he got up early the next morning. And she got up 2 hours later, looked out the driveway. And sure enough, there was a package out there all wrapped up, bow on it. She thought, well, I wonder what that is. She got a robe on, went out there and got it, brought it in, put it on the kitchen counter and opened it up. Lo and behold, it was a bathroom scale. He's not well enough to have visitors yet, and the scale doesn't work. But anyway, there was a couple having a fuss, and they were just kind of tense, you know, and you know how it gets. They were going down the road past a farm, and there was cows and pigs and donkeys there, and she looked over at her husband and said, he looked over at her and said, relatives of yours? And she looked back and said, yeah. In-laws, but anyway, it's always good to be in the Lord's house. Stop back at our table. That table is a missions table. The monies are used to help us get around, to help churches and help missionaries and help pastors. And we have CDs back there by great preachers of old. Most of them I knew personally. Many of them very good friends of mine. $5 a piece, 5 for $20. You can get all 50 of them. They're on the table for $150. That's a $100 discount and some good books, and we'll quit that right now. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to, I don't know where to tell you to turn. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, because I'm going to use a lot of verses. I love missions. I love prayer. We're going to speak on prayer tonight, and we're going to give you a primer on fasting after I speak on prayer. And Matthew 7, and shall we stand just for a moment? It's good to be with McCombies. God bless you as you travel. Amen. Amen. Matthew 7 and verse 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now let me just stop and say I like that word. Shall! Does that leave any doubt? No. Now, verse 8, for everyone, does that include you? That asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, to him that knocketh, it what? Shall be opened unto you. Now let's back up. Ask. It's in the linear. Ask and keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. Don't quit asking. Don't stop asking. Keep on asking and keep on asking. Don't quit asking. Keep on asking. Keep after God. Amen? Amen. I prayed 4,000 mornings for my youngest son's brain to be healed. God healed it. Amen? Amen. Don't give up on God. Prayed 40 years for my Aunt Doris to be saved. She got saved. Amen. Amen. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Ask and it shall be given unto you. The word given is in the linear. Ask and it's given, and ask and it's given, and ask and it's given, and ask and it's given. You keep on asking, it's given. Amen? Lord loads us with benefits every day. Now, I think one of the reasons we don't get things that we ask for, we don't thank God for what he's done for us. Amen? Amen. Do you get up in the morning, thank God for a bed and a pillow and a blankets and a roof? Amen. Hello? Amen. I wish you would. Hello? Dr. Tom Williams was here. I preached for you, and he has a prayer list. He has a thank you list, and he thanks God for 2 years for things that God does for him. He got me doing it. If you'll start doing it, you'll have a big list of things God does for you. Did you breathe today? Amen. Whose air did you breathe? His. If you're not going to tithe, folks, and give to Faith Promise Missions, why don't you create your own air? Amen? Now, Brother McCombie, I'm going to tell you why only 20% give to World Missions, because the other 80% don't tithe on all their increase and don't have the blessings of God on their life financially. They may give something, but they don't tithe on everything. So God doesn't bless them, and so they don't have that blessing that they can go forward. Only 20% of all Christians tithe. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Father, bless tonight as we pray. We pray as we speak a little while on prayer. And then we have a little primer on a little introduction on fasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. Say it with me. You have not because you ask not. Say it again. You have not because you ask not. I'll lift up my prayers to God, and I'll just say, now, God, you said I have not because I ask not, and I've asked. Now, that settles it. Now, you take care of it. Well, I did my part. Amen? Isaiah 44:3, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, talking about the Holy Spirit, and floods upon dry ground. You be thirsty for the Holy Spirit of God. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you'll have love, joy, peace. Amen? That passes all understanding. Luke 11:13, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The word gives in the linear. Give and keep on giving and keep on giving and keep on giving and keep on giving. And he gives, and you ask 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 and he gives. Amen. I like that. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them? Ask him. The word them is an indefinite third person plural pronoun. All you English teachers, figure that out. Amen. Anybody that's saved can ask and be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You want God's blessing on you? Hello. You be filled with the Spirit. How many times today did you ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God? How many times did you go and yield yourself to the Spirit of God and say, fill me and power me? Amen. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show you what? Great and mighty things that thou knowest not. James 5:16, the effectual, fervent, hot boiling prayer of a righteous man availeth not. Acts 12:5, the prayer was made without ceasing. That means they're praying 24/7. Without ceasing. Church in Northwest up here needed $250,000, and they called Dr. Tom Williams to pray. And he said, all right, I'll pray. I'll pray for 2 weeks. If you'll pray for 2 weeks. The pastor said, well, if we pray 24/7, Brother Williams, we won't be able to have church. He said, you're not going to have church anyway because they're going to take it away from you. So they got down as a church and prayed 24/7. That doesn't mean everybody was there 24/7, but somebody was there. And in 2 weeks, the pastor went up on the pulpit like I'm up here and looked, and he saw an envelope laying there and hadn't seen it before. And he opened the envelope, and inside was a check for $250,000. Woo! God answers prayer. Amen. He didn't know the man that wrote the check. Isn't that nice? Amen. I have a good friend that I preach for, and I'll preach for him in June, Lord willing. And I'll be down there in Virginia. Stella and I'll take a trip to Ohio, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, and back preaching. She's going to preach. I'm going to watch it. She's a good speaker. She spoke to Brother Lacey's women. And he was down. He said, Brother Smith, I was down praying. And the phone was ringing. The intercom was going off. People were knocking on the door, and I just kept praying. Just forget the world, folks. Best way to do that is 2 o'clock in the morning. By the way, the throne room is not busy at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he said, I got done. I got up, and a knock came on the door, and I answered it. And my secretary was there, and she said, there's somebody wants to talk to you on the phone. And he said, who is it? She said, I don't know. He said, what do they want? And she said, I don't know. And so he took the phone call, and the man said, I understand you've helped start this church. Help start this church. Help start this church. Help start this church. I understand that you need money to build a building, have a new church building. He said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, I'd like to have lunch with you. And the pastor said, well, what do you want to do? He said, I've got $600,000 I want to give you. Man, the pastor had prayed down, and God came through. Amen? And you have not because you what? Ask not. And don't quit asking. R.A. Torrey said, outside the study of God's word, prayer is the most neglected, is the most important duty of a Christian. And he also said it's the most neglected duty of a Christian. Why? It is hard work to get down on your knees and stay there for an hour, or half an hour, or hour and a half, or 2 hours. It takes work. Amen. It takes discipline. It takes a prayer list. It takes dedication, ladies and gentlemen. But the reward is when people get saved, and when you see things happen that God is doing because of your prayers, you want to pray all the more. Amen. Oh, listen, you have not because you ask not. Now, for you Bible students, I want to give you a little nugget here. When you pray through Jesus Christ. Is that by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ to the Heavenly Father? Is that right? Now, and so Jesus Christ speaks to the Father in your behalf. Is that right? Now, Jesus Christ also spoke the world into existence, John 1:3. Is that right? That's correct. So the same person who spoke the world into existence is speaking to the Father in your behalf. And so anything that God wants you to have, you'll get if you believe that it's going to happen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got the person created the universe speaking to the Heavenly Father for me. The impossible becomes possible. The invisible becomes visible. The difficult becomes delightful. The unsurmountable becomes achievable. The unseen becomes seen. Oh, listen, get excited about having a prayer life. Amen. Oh, listen, a small church in Kentucky prayed for 2 years for revival. Methodist. Now, if a Methodist church can pray down revival, we can. Amen. And one Sunday, they had 275 people saved. And 80 baptized. Glory to God. If a hillbilly can do it, we can do it. Amen? You know the difference between a Kentucky hillbilly, where I'm from, and a Washington State redneck? The Kentucky hillbilly's jack-o'-lantern has more teeth than his wife does. You have not because you ask not. 6 monosyllables, 7 words. Spiritual power comes by prayer, ladies and gentlemen. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. The pulpit is empowered by prayer. Not only his prayer, but your prayer as well. Amen. R.A. Torrey, when he took the great church, Moody Church in Chicago, said in his first sermon on Sunday morning, and the balcony had been empty for years and years and years and was full of cobwebs and dust, and the back part of the auditorium was closed off and roped off. And he said, I'd appreciate it if you get up early on Sunday morning to pray, or you get up, stay up late on Saturday night and pray and ask God to bless the ministry here. And they began to pray. And it wasn't long till they took the ropes down on the aisles in the main floor and dusted off the pews and vacuumed out between the pews. And it wasn't long until they took the ropes down to the balcony and cleaned out the balcony. People got busy and they prayed. Amen. Amen. No revival has ever come without prayer. Amen. Revival doesn't come through preaching. Revival comes through prayer. You heard me mention in my prayer about a church on the East Coast, and I challenged them in prayer. I preached to them several subjects, but the first subject normally in a revival meeting is to pray. And I find out who will pray 30 minutes a day, who will pray an hour a day, who will pray 2 hours a day. And I've probably done that here. And you get folks praying an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours a day, folks. God will do something. Amen? Amen. Say, I don't have time for that. You got more time you think you got. If you'll turn the boob tube off, you got lots of time. You'll stop watching the Augusta Golf Tournament. Just turn the television around. You leave it off 30 days, you won't need it as much. Most of us are addicted to televisions. Quiet in here. Amen, Brother Smith. Amen. I brought my own amens with me. I'm self-encouraging. Amen. I have the Energizer Bunny Rabbit battery in me, and I just keep on going. Amen. 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 The answer comes down from Scripture. We have not because we ask not. We don't pray, ladies and gentlemen, because we don't really believe that God will. Now, I want to say something important to you. Listen to me. Everybody believes that God can. Very few people believe that God will. And you won't believe that God will until you attach it to some prayer promise in this book. Amen? Amen. You find something in this book that will cause you to believe that God's going to do it, and He will do it. I was laid on the hospital bed in 1973, and I couldn't walk. And I was reading my Bible. I came to James 5 and 17, said, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders to come anoint him oil, and prayer of faith shall save the sick. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that verse. So I called the pastor. It was quite on the other end. I don't know. I don't think maybe he'd ever done that before. But it didn't make any difference. I had faith to believe if I obeyed God's word, I'd be healed. And he came and anointed me, brought a deacon with him. Most deacons are wonderful people, but some deacons are demons and they need to go where the demons are. But anyway, I'm sorry about that. No, I'm not either. They cause sometimes more church trouble than anybody. I love deacons, but they need to stay in their place. Amen. They're not the pastor. Now you listen to me. That man came and anointed him with oil, and the room lit up like Acts chapter 9, the Damascus Road experience, and literally lit up. Did you see God? No, I didn't see God, but He was there. He said, Larry, be all right. And the doctor came in to make his rounds the next day. Rounds are just an excuse to charge you another $100. And he talked to me. I said, Doc, check me out. Get me out of this hospital. He said, you can't walk. I said, try me. He said, all right, smart aleck, get out of bed. I did. He just looked at me, scratched his head, and he got splinters in his fingernails. And he said, walk over to me, and I did. He said, he had me do some simple exercises, and I did. He said, I guess I better check you out of the hospital. God healed my body and answered a prayer. Amen? Amen. And because I believed what this book said. Amen. Amen. Oh, Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily. Folks, why did He do that? Because there's 120 people in the 120 club in the upper room praying, amen. The church was praying. Acts 4:4, the number of men came to 5,000. In Acts 6:7, the number of the disciples, the multitudes were multiplied exceedingly. The call of the church was onward. The cadence of the church was forward. The marching of the church was mighty. The captain of the church was Christ. Onward, forward. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Victory was there, whether in jail or on the street. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, we have more problems now. No, 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 no. They fled Jerusalem because of the persecution. You haven't fled your city because of persecution. Amen. They were put in jail. They were martyred. Oh, I want to tell you something. As an individual church member, I want to beg you to get down and pray for this pastor, pray for this work, beg God to put a hedge about it and plead the blood of Christ over it and ask God to do something spectacular here. I know things are going well, but it can go weller. Amen. Amen. Oh, what is the difference between the early church and today's church? Prayer. Now, I know you have an emphasis on prayer, but the average church does not have an emphasis on prayer. Now, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's about it. Oh, listen. I beg of you, keep on and keep on and keep on. Keep your prayer life up. Have a prayer list. I have several. I have a prayer list in my pocket. I have a computerized prayer list of all our missionaries from FBMI out of First Baptist in my briefcase, and I pray for them every morning. And I have a prayer list, a book, I should have brought it, a little binder that of a prayer list. First, on the first page is my family, the name of all the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I have the widows are next, and then the sick people are next, and then pastor friends are next, and page after page of praises of things God has done for me. I have several, I probably have a whole page of praises just from this trip. Had three people saved last night knocking doors. First person I met got saved, carrying garbage to the garbage can. Amen? What a wonderful way to get saved. Amen? We relieved him of all the garbage in his life. Amen? First door we knocked on, that person got saved. Amen? Next door we knocked on, nobody answered. Next door we knocked on, that person got saved. I don't like to knock on a lot of doors, folks. Amen? If you get folks saved, then you don't have to go very far. Next door we knocked on, that person got saved. Amen. We had three. Next person we knocked on, that guy was already married, already saved, had a good testimony, knew in town, gave him the track, told him where the church was, and he said he'd visit. Amen. My wife and her partner last night had somebody in church last night. Amen. When's the last time you had somebody in church? Quieting it in here, isn't it? It's kind of like television. If you didn't watch television as much, you might have some power of God if you got down and prayed while you watched television. No, turned it off during that time. You don't like that praying? That's all right. You don't like that preaching? I'll be gone. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in prayer, 3,120 members. Wouldn't that be something to see 3,120 people on their knees, on their face, crying out to God? Amen? Amen. Oh, church, if he was in jail and his name was Peter, could you pray him out? Would you believe that God would loose the shackles off his hands and feet and put the jailers to sleep and open the jail doors that he could walk out? You're only getting what you believe, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. The greatest force in all the universe is prayer. That's my own quote. The greatest force in all the universe is prayer. If Jesus Christ, who created the universe, spoke and it was created, and he's the one that speaks for us to the Heavenly Father, then, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that what you're asking for, you're going to receive, that being God's will, right, by the way. If you need a Mercedes-Benz, I don't think so. Maybe something that operates and is a little bit cheaper. Amen? Don't throw stones at me. Save me a dozen, will you? All right. We left to go to Bible College, Springfield, Missouri in 1970. I was 30 years old, making $1,000 a week. That was a few dollars a week back in 70. And ladies and gentlemen, God paid the bills. And the first 5 months, I made $157. Every bill was paid. House payment was paid. Christian school bill was paid. The electric bill was paid. And they were paid on time. You know what? I think God particularly blesses people that pays their bill on time. They're honest people. If it's due on the first, it needs to be there on the first. We mail our bills on the 25th, so they're there on the first. Got quiet again, didn't it? I know it's good. Oh, listen to me. Go with me to the 12th Street Baptist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, where there were 30 to 50 men on their face begging God for that pastor and for that service that day, early on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock. Go with me to First Baptist Church, Hammond, where Brother Hiles said, "We've come every inch of the way on our knees," where that great man of God prayed 20 hours a week, studied his Bible 20 hours a week. Say, I'm a layman. You don't have to do that 20 hours a week, but maybe you could factor in a couple hours a week for praying and studying. Amen? Oh, listen to me. Go with me to Baptist Temple, Springfield, Missouri, where a great man of God there, and there were 30 to 50 men at the altar every Sunday morning, 6 a.m., begging God. That church grew 100 every year. first year, 100, second year, 100, and on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you have an emphasis on prayer, but redouble your emphasis on prayer in your own life. Have family prayer. I was in Toronto a few days ago preaching and stayed in the missionary's home, and they had family altar. They have so many kids, there's no way to get around anything to have family altar. So we sat around in the family room, six children, and all the children that could read the Bible, we read through two chapters, one verse at a time. I was in the middle of it. And then we prayed around the room, and Daddy finished it up. Those kids are learning how to read their Bible. They're learning how to pray not being coerced into it, but having fun doing it. Amen. Amen. We live in a day of self-effort, self-confidence, self-push, and organization and promotion, and all that's good, but it's all worthless without prayer. You have not because you what? Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, promotes personal holiness. You get close to God, you'll want to shed some of your unholiness. Dr. G. Beecham Fick said, the great pastor of the Temple Baptist Church, Detroit, Michigan, ran about 5,000. Your power with God will be in direct proportion to your separation from the world. Speaking of holiness. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You say, why aren't my prayers answered? Maybe there's sin in your life blocking your prayers. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask of him, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. Oh, be careful where you go. Be careful what you see. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. More churches have been destroyed because of this than any other reason. As a member of a church where one of the professors of the Bible college did this about two black ladies who came to that church running 1,200, never had a black person in it, not for any particular reason. And those of you who are black, I have two sons, missionaries to blacks. Amen. Amen. And he started doing this. That church of 1,200 went to 300. Now, all the people that'll die and go to hell because that church's outreach was damaged, and for eternity, the blood will be on his hands. You better watch out before you open your mouth. By the way, this on the computer, huh? Watch out. It's there for eternity. Whatever you put in that computer is there for eternity. You be careful. Careful with little, be careful little fingers what you type. Be careful little fingers what you type. For the Father up above. You want to get your prayers answered? Live a holy life. Live a holy life. Live a godly life. Separate yourself from the world. Throw your liquor out. Throw your tobacco out. Throw your ungodly TV out. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. I ate a piece of fish tonight, a glorified God. Jesus ate fish. Amen. I'm just kind of teasing. Amen. My wife had a steak. No, she didn't. Whatever you do that Jesus wouldn't do is sin. Whatever you think that Jesus wouldn't think is sin. Wherever you go that Jesus wouldn't go is sin. Whatever you look at that Jesus wouldn't look at is sin. Fellas, if you see a pretty lady, if you look back twice, it's sin. Amen, amen, Brother Smith. Amen. You really want your prayers answered? Watch your eyes, watch your tongue, watch your brain, watch your ears. Amen? Amen. Oh, listen, unless you pray to a holy God, through a Holy Spirit, with a holy heart and life, you're not being heard. Prayer will bring the power of God on you and this work Luke 11:13, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I beg of you to ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God. Ask and keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. Keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. And don't quit asking and keep on asking. Power for soul winning. Power for teaching. Power for loving your partner even though you don't like some things about them. Amen? Amen. There are things about every partner that partners don't like. Amen. My feet stink. My underarms stink. Amen? And we have to accept people. Hello? I got buck teeth. And makes it difficult when we're making out. But anyway, you pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you. Amen. All that junk will go away. If you'll die to self, quit complaining about your partner. The problem isn't your partner, the problem is you. Amen. Any pulpit with fire will attract people. Dead churches are the reason for the lack of prayer. And listen, folks, you can pray fire into any pulpit that you want to if you pray and pray with a clean heart and a clean spirit unto God. Every person should have a prayer life, a specific time to pray, a specific place to pray. I have a chair at home that I pray at and have prayed at since 1970s. It's worn out, not from sitting in it, from kneeling at it. 2:00 in the morning is my preferred prayer time, but I have a prayer life. I'm praying all the time. Amen. Every adult in this room ought to have a prayer life. Every child, every mom, every dad, every family. And I realize the pastors preached on prayer, but you know it doesn't hurt you to hear from somebody else. Amen. That woman back there prays from 8 to 10 every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Now, you folks, you mamas that have children, understand you can't do that, but maybe you could get up a little early or stay up a little late. Or if the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to wake you up in the middle of the night and count it an honor to get up and pray. Just ask him, who do you want me to pray for? He'll get you up. He's the best waker-upper. Amen? I beg of you. I could go on and on and on. Once again, 4,000 mornings I prayed for our youngest son, Daniel, and God healed his brain. Now he's so smart, if I ask him anything about electronic equipment, he just looks at me and said, Dad, if I explained it to you, you wouldn't understand it. Not because I'm an idiot, half idiot, about electronics. He can't get it down to my level. Hello? He's got one of them brains that won't quit. Maybe I shouldn't have prayed so much. I don't know. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 17. I'll take a little time and give you a primer on fasting. If I may, Matthew 17, verse 21. Well, let's start in verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, they came down to him, that being Jesus, a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. Well, we've got a world full of them now, don't we? Sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into fire and oft into water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. He called his own disciples perverts. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. I can just see him now, rebuking his disciples. And Jesus rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your what? Say it with me. Unbelief. You've got to find word of God that will give you confidence and faith that God will answer your prayer. You've got to. You've got to. I can give you many examples. Time won't allow. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, faith cometh by what? and hearing by the word of God, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by what? Say it with me. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now, Moses fasted 40 days. Jesus fasted 40 days. Elijah fasted 40 days. I'm not asking you to fast 40 days, but some of you could work up to that if you wanted to. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. First Baptist Church Hammond has just gone through a very difficult time. We lost our pastor and had to call a new pastor. 6 months without a pastor. And we had 50 people every week fasting at least one day a week for God's guidance and for God's will to be done. Every week, 50 people, 50 people, 50 people, 50 people, 50 people. Not by name. We had slips on the front counter, and they'd take a slip. And when they were all gone, we knew that 50 slips were gone. Now, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret, read the next few words with me. Ready? Shall reward thee openly. There's that word again. Shall! Hand me that. Shall! Now, if you go to sleep, I'll wake you up. Amen? I want you to back up. Verse 16, moreover, read three words with me. When you fast. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say if. We are expected as Christians to fast. Hello? Next verse, 17. But thou, say the next three words with me. When thou fastest. It doesn't say if. I have written in my Bible when and not if. God expects his people to be a fasting people. Amen? Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm not using the Bible that I usually use to teach this, so pardon me while I stumble around. Verse 14. Then came to him, that being Jesus, the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but the disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn or fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Who are the children of the bride chamber? Folks that are saved. All right? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them. Read the next four words with me. And then shall they fast. Is Jesus here or not? No. And so we're expected to fast when Jesus is up and gone. Amen. 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 All right. Now, a few thoughts. Joshua, when they lost the battle at Ai and 36 men were slain, the power of God was gone. The first thing he did was call for the elders, and they fell on their face and they fasted and prayed the rest of that day. They got on their face before God. Now, revival at Nineveh, the greatest revival perhaps in all of history, occurred when Jonah went and preached there. The king called for a day of what? Prayer and fasting. And he put on sackcloth. And he said, don't even feed the babies. Don't feed the animals. Can you imagine all the babies squalling? Huh? He wanted God's will. He wanted God to come down. And he wanted something. And the whole city got saved. Wouldn't it be something if the mayor of Seattle called for a day of prayer and fasting? Wouldn't it be something if our president of our United States called for a day of prayer and fasting? In Minnesota in the late 1800s, great wheat state, Governor Pillsbury, the same one of the Pillsbury cake mix company, or the same family. The wheat crop had been destroyed 2 years in a row by locusts. And if it's destroyed again, the people would lose their farms. The bankers couldn't carry them any longer. And so he called for a day of prayer and fasting. Thank God, thank God, thank God for a born-again Christian governor, amen, that had the moxie to take the heat, if there was going to be any, over prayer and fasting. And so the people got down and prayed and fasted that day. The next day, this was in April, still very cold and the ground's very frozen, and the locusts lay their eggs in the ground. And the next day, a great warm day came. It was really actually hot. And the ground began to thaw, and the locusts began to come out in the multitudes. The next day, the same thing, extremely hot. The ground thawed all the more. And millions and millions of locusts were hatched out. And the next day, the same thing happened. And you couldn't even see the sky, couldn't see the sun because it was black for all the locusts. And the people were just crying out, distraught because of the locusts, and they'd lose their winter wheat. But the sun went down then, that night, and a great blue norther came in and turned the place exceedingly cold. And every locust was frozen. And the crop was saved and the farms were saved because a people got down and fasted and prayed. Now, what is fasting? Doing without food for 24 hours or perhaps just a meal a day for 7 days. Perhaps you can't handle 24 hours. Or maybe you'd eat one meal and go without two. Work your way up to three meals. I recommend you find a day in the week that you don't eat, and you don't eat that day every week, same day, same day, same day, same day. Your body will not expect to eat that day, and it won't be hungry that day. What is fasting? Going without sleep. Staying up and praying. Fasting from your sleep. What is fasting? Doing without the marriage relationship by agreement for a time, not for a long time, where both of you would fast and pray. And after you've had one day of fasting for, I'd say, 2 or 3 months or the same day of the week, then I'd recommend you branch out in 3 or 4 days, once a month. Now you're going to get sick. You'll think you have the flu. It's toxins leaving your body. After you get through the fourth day, you won't be sick anymore. But maybe after you've done that for 2 or 3 months, a 3 or 4 day fast once a month, then you could break out and do 7 to 10 days. And some of you could ask the Holy Spirit about going further. Maybe somebody would go 40 days sometime on water and juice. My children, when they were small, they'd come to the table, and they'd see Dad with a glass of juice in front of him on a particular day, Fridays. My son was 12, now the missionary in Barbados, West Indies, 20-year veteran missionary, 10 years in Africa, 10 years in Barbados. Our youth director had announced he was leaving, and my son decided he's not going to leave. He said, I'm going to fast until that man decides he's going to stay. Where did he get that? He watched his daddy not eat on Fridays from the time he was a tot. Hello? And he fasted one day and 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. He got down to the 12th day. He was losing weight. The youth director asked him. He said, are you fasting? He said, yes, sir. He said, what are you fasting for? He said, for you to stay. He said, I'll stay. Amen? What do you want? What do you need? What would you like to have? You want to see somebody revived, somebody saved? Spend some time at it, begging God. Deny your body bodily appetites for a day at a time. My mother-in-law came to visit. I guess father-in-law was with him. I was on a 40-day fast. I don't know where I was, maybe 30 days. And she went berserk. She'd sit out at the table every meal. I didn't eat a thing. Every meal. I didn't eat a thing. She's, oh, you're going to die. 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 I'd have been better off she was. If I died, I'd been in heaven. Amen. Now, I didn't die. I'm still here. I got a fat stomach. Amen. Amen. Now, a fast like that will teach you what you really are. You'll see things in your life you've never seen before. You'll begin to make adjustments in your life. Your prayer life will become a whole lot more effective if you'll do so. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Byram, I think that you should take this invitation and the best way, with the best wisdom you have.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and this is a message both on prayer and fasting. That and about being serious about prayer and fasting. And I think the message is clear on both. And if you're serious about it and God's speaking to you, maybe you're already doing these things well. Maybe you're doing great on your prayer and you got this fasting thing. You've been doing it faithfully, and that's great. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you and you're saying, you know what, I haven't been that serious about this thing, but I need something to happen. Or maybe you're just saying, I need to just walk with God to get effectiveness in my prayer. Maybe he spoke to you about your holiness and what you watch and say and do and things. There's a lot of things you could do, but tonight it's about being serious about prayer and fasting. And this is for every Christian, new Christian to very, very strong, mature Christian. Sometimes it's time to step up and begin to have a real fasting life or a praise list or real time. I think this message can be for every one of us, and maybe God's spoken to you. Now, I don't want you to just respond because, you know, you feel like you need to do something. But if God's speaking to you and you need to make a difference in your fasting and your prayer, then you need to, then God brought this message for you tonight. And so that's something you need to do business with. And we'll give you a chance to do an invitation in just a second. But I want to start off with just the fasting specifically and with some commitments. And don't make a commitment if you're not going to keep it. If you're going to say, I might try that. That's not what I'm talking about now. If you're saying, you know what, I'm going to begin to fast. I'm going to start a fast maybe one day a week, or I'm going to work up to it. But I'm going to start working into fasting in my life in a serious way. I'm committing that to God. I'm going to do that in a different way. I'm going to begin to fast in a serious way. And I don't know how long I can fast, but I'm going to work up until I feel like God's doing something. I am committing to, I'm going to begin to fast in a serious way. And your health is all different, everything like that. But you say, I'm changing something. I'm committing to fast in a different way. And that's me. And I'm committing to that. We sleep right